That's the person God speaks to, who really wants to know and desires to do God's will. I must hear. I have to know. You know, God called David in the Bible a man after my own heart. Now, why did he call David that? Because he was perfect? Far from it. The guy was both a murderer and an adulterer. So he wasn't perfect. So why would God say, you know that guy? He's a man after my own heart. Why? Because David was passionate about hearing from God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in our series called, Can You Hear Me Now? In these lessons, we'll learn how to truly discern the Lord's voice in the midst of a world full of distractions. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a powerful tool that will help you get answers to life's most difficult questions. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. If you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called, How to Get Guidance from God.
Now, you may have seen this on the internet. It's been on the internet the last few weeks, called Imagine If God Had Voicemail. And it goes something like this. Thank you for calling heaven. For English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. And for all other languages, press 3. Please select one of the following options here in heaven. Press 1 for guidance, 2 for requests, press 3 for thanksgiving, and press 4 for why is this happening to me? To find a loved one in heaven, press 5, then enter his social security number followed by the pound sign. The pound sign is in the right lower corner of your telephone. For reservations to heaven, please enter John followed by the numbers 316. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs, life on other planets, and suffering, please wait until you arrive here to ask that question. For the purpose of life, please read Rick Warren's book. The office is now closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. If you need emergency assistance, please contact your local pastor. Thank you and have a heavenly day. Now, last week, we talked about 6 ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through gifted teachers. He speaks to us through godly friends and family. He speaks to us through impressions. He speaks to us through pain. And we even looked at how God often speaks to us through silence. This week, I want us to go back and look at that 4th way, how God speaks through impressions, through ideas, through inspirations that he puts in your mind. Because there's a lot of confusion about this, about how does God give us ideas. So this week, we're going to look at how to receive an impression from God. And then in the last message in this series, we're going to look at how do you test an impression? How do you confirm it? How do you know if it's really God talking to you or somebody else or, you know, just you talking to yourself? Now, there's a lot of confusion, but fortunately, there is a 6-step process found in the Bible, in God's Word, in a little-known book of the Old Testament called Habakkuk. And I bet you can't guess who wrote it. A guy named Habakkuk. Now, I always like to go to some of these minor prophets in the Old Testament because when you get to heaven, I don't want you to be embarrassed. I mean, I don't want Habakkuk to come up to you into heaven and say, hey, how'd you like my book? And you go, oh, Mr. Habakkuk, I didn't even know you were in the Bible. So we periodically go to these guys and look at them and see what they have to say. It's only a little 3-chapter book. And in chapter 1, Habakkuk asks 6 questions of God. He wants to know the answers. He's asking God for guidance. In chapter 2, he does 6 things to prepare himself to hear God's answer. And if you'll do those same 6 things, you'll find God speaking to you in your own life. And then in chapter 3, he gets the answers from God. Now, before we begin looking at these 6 steps to how to receive an impression from God, I want you to think of an area in your life that you're facing a major decision in the next week or two. Okay, just try to get one of those in your mind. Is there an area where you say, I really need guidance from God? Because if you can think of that before we go into these 6 steps, it'll really help you a lot on how to prepare yourself to hear God's answer on the areas that you are most concerned about. Now let's get right into it. In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says this. It's there on your outline. Habakkuk says, I will climb into my watchtower now, and I will wait to see what the Lord will say and how he will answer my question. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters so that a runner can read it and tell everyone. But these things that I plan, talking about the plan for your life, that I plan will not for your life will not happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Now, in these two verses, we have the six steps on how to hear from God. Here's step one. Step one is want. I must want to hear God. I must be willing to listen. I must desire to do God's will. It all starts with desire, with wanting to hear God. And Habakkuk begins with these words, I will. He says, I will climb up into my watchtower. In other words, he says, I'm deciding to listen to God. It is a choice. Now, the point is, you're never going to hear God unless you want to hear God. I mean, it's just that simple, that God speaks to those who want to hear from God. And so it starts with your own desire. Now, the classic example of this is King David. And the next two or three verses are verses that he wrote. In Psalm 85, he says, I want to hear what God the Lord says. And more than that, in Psalm 40, he says, my God, I want to do what you want. He says, I don't want to just hear. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to obey. Now, last week we talked about this, that God speaks to people who decide in advance that they're going to do whatever God tells them to do before he even tells them. God does not speak to people who say, God, tell me what your plan and purpose is for my life, and I will consider it. I'll think about it. God does not speak to people who say, God, tell me what you want me to do next, and I'll consider it among many different options, and then I'll choose. God says, no, we're not going to play games. We're not going to play games. God only speaks to the people who say, God, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And so it is an attitude of saying yes even before you know. It's saying, God, I'm writing the blank check out. I'm filling out. God, I don't know what you want me to do with my life. I don't know what you want with my career, my family, who to marry, where to work, where to go to school, and all. God, I'm just laying it out before you, whatever you want. And God says, now that's the person that I'm ready to speak to. He decides in advance. Now let me ask you a very personal question. How serious are you about wanting to hear from God?
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How to Get Guidance from God from our series called Can You Hear Me Now? The second half of today's study is coming up next.
How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away. You can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, in each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Now let me ask you a very personal question. How serious are you about wanting to hear from God? You say, well, you know, it'd be nice. It'd be kind of a cool thing to hear God speak to me. That would be really nice. Well, that's not enough. Is it a nicety or is it a necessity? God speaks to people who say, God, I have got to know what you want for my life. I have got to know your will. I have got to know what you want me to do, because God, I'm not moving ahead till you tell me. Is it a nicety or is it a necessity? Is it a, well, yeah, it'd be kind of cool. It'd be really great to just have God talk to me. Or is it, you know what, God, I must know your will. Who do you want me to marry? What do you want me to do? How can I use my life and the rest of my life, the next years, my retirement years, whatever? That's the person God speaks to, who really wants to know and desires to do God's will. I must hear. I have to know. You know, God called David in the Bible a man after my own heart. Now, why did he call David that? Because he was perfect? Far from it. The guy was both a murderer and an adulterer. So he wasn't perfect. So why would God say, you know, that guy, he's a man after my own heart? Why? Because David was passionate about hearing from God. It wasn't a nicety, it was a necessity. And as you read through the Psalms, he says, I long to hear from you. I desire to hear from you. Like a deer pants after water when it's thirsty, I thirst for you. I'm hungry for you. I crave you. I want to know your will more than anything else. It is my yearning of my heart. And because David, more than anybody else, wanted to hear from God, God spoke to him more than anybody else. The more you desire it, the more God will speak in your life. You see, you are as close to God as you choose to be. Don't blame anybody else. You are as close to God as you choose to be. It is your choice. And David said, I have to hear from you, God. I want to know you every day. I want to hear your voice. In fact, here he said this in Psalm 119. What I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws. He said, this is what I want more than anything in my life. I desire to do what you want me to do. So I've got to hear from you, God. And this is what God says in Deuteronomy. If you search for God with all your heart and soul, you will find him. This is the first step to getting guidance from God. I must want it more than anything else.
There's a second step to getting guidance from God that we learn from Habakkuk, and that is the step to decide to withdraw. Withdraw, that means you get alone in a quiet place. Habakkuk said, I'll climb up into my watchtower. That was a Hebrew expression for, I'm going to get alone, I'm going to get above it all. I'm going to withdraw and get in a quiet place. The point here is, you cannot hear God's voice if you're surrounded by noise. And so you got to find a quiet place. Now, would you agree with me that it can be tough finding a quiet place in today's world? How about just in your own house? It's hard to find. Any of you parents of preschoolers know what I'm talking about? It's hard to find it. In fact, a little encouragement for parents of preschoolers, especially those of you that are moms or preschoolers. In the story of the life of Susanna Wesley, she had 18 children. Now, that's not the encouragement part, by the way, but she had 18 children, and two of her sons changed Christian history. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, and Charles Wesley wrote hundreds of Christian hymns. And both of them attributed their love for God to their mom's passion and love for God. She prayed every day. Now, how do you find time to withdraw and pray every day when you have 18 kids? Here was her strategy. Sometime in the afternoon, she had a rocking chair. She'd sit down in that rocking chair, and she'd take her long apron, and she'd pull it up over her head. That's how she would withdraw. And all the kids knew that if you disturbed mom when the apron was over her head, you would die. That's what would happen. However you do it, you have to decide to withdraw. That's the point. It's not going to happen automatically. I know that Pastor Rick, when his kids were younger, had a place at the bottom of his slope where he made a little prayer garden where he could withdraw and pray. I know that Pastor Doug Fields, when his kids were younger, he actually went out in his garage and he put up this black, like velvet drapery stuff in sort of a circle all the way to the ground, stapled up to the ceiling with a chair in the middle. It's like a black velvet cocoon that he could worship God in. His neighbors thought he was part of this weird psycho Christian cult, but he found a place to be alone. However you do it, you and I have to find a way to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Look at this next verse in your outline. Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You might circle the word often. Jesus knew he needed this to be a regular part of his life if he was going to sense God's voice and hear God's voice. And he's God. Nobody's closer to God than Jesus, but he knew he needed this, so how much more do I need this? Have you ever realized the amount of noise in your life? It's everywhere. You get in the car, there's the noise from the radio. You go on a walk, there's the noise from the Walkman. You go in a store, there's a noise from the music. You get in an elevator, you can't be alone from the noise. There's the elevator music. So in order to get away from the noise, we have to intentionally decide to withdraw. That's why it's so important to get alone in a quiet place. To decide to remove as many distractions as possible. To decide to take the phone off the hook. To decide to turn off the cell phone so that you can hear God's voice. Jesus gives us some very specific advice about this. Look at Matthew 6:6 in your outline. Jesus said, here's what you do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Now, if you're going to do that, if I'm going to do that, there are two words that will motivate that decision to withdraw. Would you write them in with me? The two words that will motivate this decision to withdraw, to get alone with God, are these two words. God cares. God cares. God cares about what you're going through. If you don't realize He cares, why would you want to spend any time with Him? But once you realize how much He cares, how much He has to give to you, then you'll make the decision to withdraw and to be with Him. He cares about everything in your life. He cares about the big things. He cares about the details of your life. Look at this next verse in your outline. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Let's read this together. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. God cares even about the details so you can talk to Him about anything and everything. He cares about what you eat, cares about what you drink, cares about what you wear. Tell that one to your teenagers. He cares about what you wear. He even cares if you wear Hawaiian shirts and no socks. He cares about what any of us wear because He cares about the details of your life. So talk to Him about the details. Talk to Him about the delights. Talk to Him about the disasters. Talk to Him about anything and everything because He cares about anything and everything. Truth is, God is far more willing to talk to you and I than we are to talk to Him. A few years ago, back in Florida, somebody bought bought billboard signs and began to put what God might say to us in our current day. And it just caught the attention of the nation. I think it's just, wow, God has something to say to us. There is something about, you're just driving down the freeway and all of a sudden you see something that says, well, let me show a couple of these to you, and I think you'll see what I mean. Suppose you're driving down the freeway and you see, we need to talk, God. There it is, right there on the... A few others. Suppose you see this one, love the wedding, now invite me to your marriage. Or some with a little more bite to them. What part of you shall not didn't you understand? What if you saw that when you're driving down the freeway? Or that love thy neighbor thing, I meant it. What if you saw that? Or how about this one? Keep using my name in vain, I'll make the rush hour longer. That has something to it. Have you read my number one bestseller? There will be a test. The last time things were this messed up, I sent a flood. Or maybe a message like this. How come the only time you talk to me is when you're in trouble? Or I'm in the book, God. Go ahead and connect with me. Or this one, which God certainly does say. What if you saw this? I love you, I love you, I love you.
Now, if wanting to hear God speak and withdrawing to a quiet place was all you needed to hear God, it would be a snap. But those are just the first two of six steps to hearing God. The next thing you do is you have to calm yourself down, and that's the third step. Wait. Wait is the third step. I want to hear God. I withdraw to a quiet place, and then I wait, and I calm my thoughts and emotions. Now you have to settle yourself down on the inside. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will wait. In other words, I'm going to wait to hear God. He says in the NIV version, I will station myself. You might circle that station. What does it mean? It means I'm going to stay put. I'm going to be still. I am not going to move until I hear from God. God, I am planting myself right here in this chair. I am stationing myself. I am not going to move. I'm going to be still until I hear from you. I'm waiting, God. I'm going to wait right here. Now, why is that important? Because hurry is the death of prayer. The reason why you don't hear God is because you are in too much of a hurry. God, I got 2 minutes. Come on, give it to me real quick. I got to go to my next appointment. God's going, we'll just pass on that. Hurry is the death of prayer. The truth is, it's very simple. God speaks to people who take the time to listen. If you don't take the time to listen, God's not going to talk to you. You must want it, withdraw into a quiet place so you're away from all the distractions, and then you wait and you calm yourself down. You have to take the time to listen. Now, everything in the world tries to keep you from listening to God. And especially the devil. Satan doesn't want you praying. Satan doesn't want you listening to God. So he's going to use two tools very effectively against you. The first is your circumstance. Here's what happens in the typical prayer time. Maybe you decide, you know, I'm going to spend some time today and pray. So you go and you find a quiet chair and you sit down or whatever and you get quiet. And just as you start to pray, the moment you get quiet, your mind will fill with 100 things that you have to do. And they all come to mind all at once. And they just start popping into your mind. All of your unfinished tasks, all of the calls you need to return, all of your responsibilities, all of the things you cannot forget. And they start popping into your mind, and your mind flips back and forth from subject to subject to subject to subject. And it's kind of like pushing scan on the radio in your car. It goes 2 seconds here, then 2 seconds here, and 2 seconds here, and 2 seconds here. And it's hard to concentrate on God when all those things that you need to remember are coming up in your mind. Now, what do you do? Well, you can try to push it away, but that doesn't work. If you try to ignore it, it just screams out later, louder, don't forget me, don't forget me, don't forget me. So what do you do? Let me give you a very simple solution. Get a notepad and write it down. Get a notepad and write it down.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again and to find out more about this ministry, or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? Well, in his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, so you can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, in each of these studies, you'll discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or just call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Today's the last day to get yours, so don't wait. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You ever find yourself asking the question, why is this happening to me? Why does this have to be so difficult? You know, the thing is, God never intended for life on earth to be perfect. This is not heaven, this is earth. And God put us here to teach us a lot of things, even in the middle of our pain and problems and difficulties. And one of the things he wants to teach us the most is how to love. How to love him and how to love other people. That prepares you for heaven. You see, God loves you and God is for you. So when things get difficult, keep your focus on the love of God. Just say to yourself, God loves me. And say it over and over until you start to let it sink in. Thanks everybody for listening today, and join me again next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.